Dan O'Donnell, and I'm an ISV evangelist with Microsoft based in Chicago. And today I'm here with Renee. Renee, can you introduce yourself for the camera?
Sure. My name is Renee Bernier. I work for Microsoft's OEM division. I'm part of the Embedded Devices Group. I'm an account manager, and I cover Motorola, Honeywell, and Intermec. The common thread between those three accounts is that all three of those partners, OEMs, manufacture handheld rugged devices.
Well, June 17th, especially for all those of us working in the mobile space, was quite an exciting day with Steve Ballmer making quite a major announcement. Could you tell us more about it?
Sure. So on June 17th, Steve Ballmer announced Microsoft's commitment to extend the Windows platform into the area of specialized devices, that we would focus in on building an enterprise-class mobile operating system, and that new product was going to be called Windows Embedded Handheld.
So tell us more about this. I mean, I think people see mobile devices being used on a daily basis. They see people on planes using them, people on the underground using them for doing email. I think what's less obvious, though, is that so many of these devices are being used in areas where you're not really paying attention. It could be you're sitting in a restaurant, and when it comes to checkout time, rather than you actually going to the front desk to check out, they'll actually come to your table with a mobile device, which typically is running a Microsoft embedded OS. Maybe you could tell us some of these scenarios where these type of devices will be used.
So these devices are used in a hospitality, like you just mentioned, right? They're used in retail. They're used in transportation. They might need to deliver bread, right, or deliver flowers. Where's my next stop? It's used in logistics, right, inside warehouses. And the reason why they use these handheld terminals or rugged devices instead of a consumer phone is because the enterprise has a different set of requirements that a consumer device really doesn't map that well towards. So a couple of examples would be the radio inside this device here is software definable. And the reason why is because different areas of the country, different cities have great CDMA coverage, different cities have great GSM coverage, and now the enterprise can have a single device instead of different devices that support all the carriers here in the United States or all the carriers around the world.
So just to reiterate, this is pretty much the first device I think I've ever seen that can actually work on both CDMA and GSM, so it's a very unique feature.
Right. Some other features inside of an enterprise mobile device would be the screen. It's larger, right? It's resistive touch.
What does it actually mean? We've got capacitive touch, resistive touch. I think you mentioned that obviously if you're using gloves, resistive touch is obviously the better option.
So resistive touch works based on the principle that you're going to press on the screen and then operate the device. Now, if you're a enterprise user, quite a lot of them wear gloves, and on a capacitive touch, that doesn't work. The glove does not operate the device, but on a resistive touch device, it does. We build things in like the scroll bars inside Internet Explorer, so you can actually take the stencil and move the Internet Explorer window around without using your finger, because if you use your finger, it could select something inside the application that you didn't intend to select. The screen on these devices are much, much brighter, probably at least 2x brighter than a consumer screen, because a lot of these devices will be used outside where it's very bright and there's a lot of light, and the end user still needs to be able to see the device. There's other network things, right, so that you can authorize or authenticate this device on a corporate network, right? In a consumer world, your device attaches to any Wi-Fi network out there.
So this will actually join a domain within an organization's Wi-Fi?
Exactly. Okay. And not hop on some other random Wi-Fi network out there as your employer roams around the country.
Now, these devices, and specifically the ES400, it is drop certified. So if you accidentally drop it under the floor, it
That's
will survive.
Right. So this is what I'd call a semi-rugged device. We have rugged devices that I think a lot of you guys have seen. Your UPS driver carries one. The FedEx driver carries one. These are devices that could be thrown out of a three-story building and survive the drop. These are devices that could be thrown out of the truck driving at 60 miles an hour and survive the drop. This is something that's semi-rugged, designed for what I call a gray-collar employee. So someone that needs to use a phone occasionally, also needs to have access to the line of business application, and most important, the enterprise would provide this phone to the employee.
And certainly, I wouldn't expect even though it can survive a drop, I would still expect someone to put it in like a leather case or something, just give it a little bit extra cushioning.
Right. So you know, so accessories. Right. There's a whole market of accessories built around devices like this. So, example will be instead of a retail environment. Now, in the consumer world, everybody has their mini and micro USBs that charge it up. In the enterprise world, there's a nice docking station where you drop these devices into the docking station and charge them up overnight. There's devices like peripherals that plug into the bottom so that you can take your credit card and it will act as a magstripe reader. This device actually has a barcode scanner built into it and also a fingerprint reader for authentication.
And also, because it's got a camera, it could also pick up 2D barcodes.
1D and 2D barcodes.
So it could even work with the Microsoft tag system.
That's exactly right.
And so on. Mm-hmm. So certainly, I mean, in my past, I've talked to both police forces and airlines looking to use mobile devices. And I think what's very surprising about this,
right.
You know, seeing this for the first time today, is that it's pretty much not much bigger than a standard consumer device, but it's... It obviously has all these increased capabilities built into it. So maybe you could tell us when we're going to see these in the market.
So Motorola announced the device on June 17th. I would imagine we're going to start seeing these in market around the September-October timeframe.
And where are these devices going as we project further out?
Help me understand more about what you're thinking there.
Well, certainly, this is going to be released on, this is going to be on 6.5.
Right, yes, Windows Mobile 6.5.
Yeah, and then maybe 12 months out from that, so you know where are these devices going in terms of the operating system and support.
So as a part of the announcement on June 17th, Microsoft also announced Windows Mobile, or Windows Embedded Handheld. That's going to be based off of Windows Mobile 6.5. We announced that it'll have support for Visual Studio 2008. The new product will have support for Windows Forms, and that will also change the support lifecycle. So I would envision what you'll see us do is reset the support clock and provide somewhere between 5 and 7 years of support for the new platform, so Windows Embedded Handheld. Then going beyond that, right, so I would imagine we'll announce that Q4 2010, have the product available to OEMs to load on devices, to build devices. So going forward, 12 months from that date, we'll announce Windows Mobile Handheld 7. That will be based on Windows 7 technologies, so Compaq 7, you may also know it as CE7. We'll support the Visual Studio 2010 for development. We'll support the Compaq Framework 3.5, so that we have backwards compatibility with all the line of business applications that have been written for Windows Mobile. And then we'll also support the .NET framework, Compaq Framework 3.7, so that we can bring in support for the new generation of applications written on Silverlight and written on XNA.
And that's interesting because I talked to a lot of ISVs, and in some cases, some ISVs are saying, when are we going to see Silverlight? And then the other ones are saying, well, why do you need Silverlight if we're a guy sitting in the warehouse? But, first of all, just giving you increased visualization capabilities, the guy in the warehouse, he may want to bring up a chart of, what his inventory is like today.
Right.
So Silverlight, just having the power of Silverlight just gives you a lot more options.
That's very true. And I also say the ISV developers, when they develop an application, they like to develop it on the latest platform, right? And Silverlight is that platform for Microsoft. But we'll also support the backwards compatibility for those legacy applications that other ISVs have written.
So I guess there's two scenarios. You might have some ISVs who want to just continue on maybe for the next few years with their legacy applications.
Right.
And then the other ones who want to just basically move forward and obviously start building on Silverlight.
That's exactly right. Yeah, for that next generation UI.
Excellent. Well, Renee, thanks for taking the time to talk to me today, and we'll look forward to seeing where this goes. And we will actually provide the link to the Steve Ballmer video in the text around this video as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.